This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 Authentic Christian Ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page, and I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear now the word of the Lord as recorded in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 16. The reading begins at verse 13. Matthew 16, beginning reading at verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20. Let us pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. That amazing Christian church. That amazing Christian church. That amazing Christian church. Our topic, our theme, our subject for this worship session. That amazing Christian church. It is no doubt that in numerous generations, people have despaired over eventualities that occurred in their lives. And perhaps there are those of you right now who have some despair regarding what is going on in your life. But I call you to faith in God. I would say to you, despair not. I would say to you, keep the faith. I would say to you, let not your heart be troubled. You might ask, Page, Pastor Page, why would you say that? Well, if you are a Christian, and your despair concerns the Christian church, I would say to you not to worry. What do you mean, Pastor Page? It looks like the church is off course. Looks like Satan has derailed the church. He's lifting his head on every hand. We, it appears, are on the defense and he's on the offense, and you are saying not to worry. I say not to worry, my friends, because that amazing Christian church has a history and a record second to none. Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he said, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I've come to tell you, my friends, that the gates of hell have never prevailed against the church of Jesus Christ, and they never will. They have attempted on millions of occasions to prevail against the church. Not that they haven't done great harm. Not that Christ has not had to rescue us. And not that there have not been times when hell has pushed us back. But Jesus has always been our deliverer. God in heaven has kept the Christian church going. And so, in case you are despairing by what you see around you, and if you think that spiritually these are the worst of times, I call your attention to the history of the Christian church. Born in what I would say was the world's greatest theocracy, born in Israel, born under its foreign occupation, it being occupied by Rome and having already been under the sway of other countries. Alexander of Macedon and those that followed him, the Grecians, had held sway in the area. The Romans were in power when Jesus was crucified. And yet the tender plant of the Christian church survived in the greatest theocracy on planet Earth, and a theocracy that was hostile to the competing plant of the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about that amazing Christian church. The leaders of that theocracy were complicit in his crucifixion. The leaders of that theocracy were complicit in opposing his followers after he had risen from the dead and had ascended back to heaven. Yet the tender plant of the Christian church survived, and not only survived, but spread itself throughout the territories. It preached the gospel. It went to the seat of power, Rome itself, and before long had taken power in Rome. And to this day, still exists in some pure form in Rome. 2,000 years later, I'm talking about that amazing Christian church. So if you are despairing, if you are feeling that the worst has happened, if you look at your children and they look lost, you look at your co-workers and they seem lost, you look at your neighborhood and it seems lost, you look at your TV and you know it's lost, and you wonder, what on earth is happening? Well, I call your attention back to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and to the words of Jesus Christ. He said, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. As always, it is crucial that a Christian believe the word of the Master, Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ, the word of the Savior, Jesus Christ, the word of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Your success, your peace, your joy, your reassurance is in the word of Christ. What he says is true. Not only true, it is truth. It is true and it is truth. It is absolute truth. And so why would you worry? Yet there are those of you who would protest and say, "But Reverend, man has truly gotten wiser and wickeder now. You see what's going on, the killing and the sinning. They found ways to do it with a multiple now that they never had before. Reverend, don't you see that it's worse now? Don't you see what they're doing to us? Don't you see, Reverend, that the church does not seem to have a chance? But Paul put it this way in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, beginning reading at verse 31. Romans chapter 8, beginning reading at verse 31. Paul said, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. So if you are despairing, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You believe in God. You believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Oh, they have done many things to us over the centuries. Satan has not stopped doing things to Christians. You ought to remember that he is a thief and a robber. You ought to remember that Satan comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. That's what Satan is about. He never comes with any good long-term intentions. He may promise you the world, but what he wants is your life. He wants to kill you. He wants first to steal, kill, steal, destroy. Steal, kill, destroy. Satan always has ulterior motives. No matter how much he smiles at you, no matter how much he flatters you, no matter how much he fets you and spends money on you, Satan's purposes are always for your downfall. He will uplift you temporarily in an attempt to destroy you permanently. He will feed you temporarily in an attempt to starve you to death permanently. He will lead you temporarily in a way that seems good in order to cause you to be eternally lost. Satan comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. But he cannot prevail against that amazing Christian church. So let not your heart be troubled. But yet it is a fight. It is a wrestling match. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we are wrestling against the very spiritual forces of hell that manifest themselves in fleshly living people. Satan will use them, those who are weak, those who are misguided, those who are infidel, those who are agnostic, those who are atheistic. Satan will use them to try to prevail against the Christians and against the Christian church. It won't work. He knows it won't work, but you, some of you don't know that it won't work. Satan knows that it has failed time and time and time and time again over the centuries. Satan knows that his attempts to prevail against the Christian church have failed time and time and time and time again. He has attacked when plants of the church were young and weak and trying to get rooted, trying to gain strength, trying to gain headway. And he has come fast and furious against the tender plants in various areas, seeking to prevail. He came fast and furious against the first man and the first woman in his deception of Eve. Satan comes quickly and fast. He comes when he thinks that people are most vulnerable, when they don't know, when they're more likely to listen to him, when they're looking for a way, when they're looking for something new, when they're just starting out. You are to remember that, Christian. Satan often attacks that which is young, that which is new, that which is fresh, that which doesn't know, that which is looking for guidance. He seeks to put in place his leadership, his guidance, which really is misguidance, because he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I urge you to read and memorize John chapter 10, verse 10 in the New Testament, John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, remember this now. Remember, I want you to memorize John 10, 10. John 10, 10. John 10, 10. That's not what Jesus says. I'm going to read it in just a moment, but I'm just taking a moment. I want you to memorize John 10, 10. John 10, 10. I'm going to read it now. John 10, 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John 10, 10. John 10, 10. In John 10, 10, Jesus says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The thief cares nothing about your future. The thief comes for the express reason of stealing, killing, and destroying. The thief cares nothing about your well-being in the future, and as a matter of fact, the thief doesn't really care about your well-being in the present, except for how he or she can use you to his or her benefit. Remember John 10, 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the reason. If the thief doesn't want to steal, kill, and destroy, the thief doesn't even come. So when you see Satan show up, you know that Satan is there for the purpose of stealing, killing, and destroying. When you see Satan's people show up, you know that Satan's people are there for the purpose of stealing, killing, and destroying. That's why Satan's people will give you any kind of advice, whether it makes sense or not. Because his people don't really care about whether or not the advice is going to be good for you in the long run. Satan's people are about stealing, killing, and destroying. And you see it every day when someone tells you to abort a baby. That person cares nothing about your future. You say, oh, well, it's family planning. No, it's cutting off. It is cutting off your family. It is destroying your family. When someone says, well, kill that, just let that person die. Well, that's like saying someone who's struggling to live in a pond and you can throw him a rope, but you don't do it because you want to see him die. And someone standing says, well, just let him die. What kind of humanity is that? Satan comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Satan will give you advice about men marrying men and women marrying women. There is no good future in a man trying to marry a man or a woman trying to marry a woman. You know that advice is from Satan. God himself calls it vile affection. Satan comes to steal your virginity. If you are a female, Satan will send a male to steal your virginity, leave you with a child, and probably hinder your forward movement and disappear out of sight as he goes to steal somebody else's virginity. John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You would say, well, Reverend, there are a lot of people that do that. Satan was working in them, regardless of who has done it. Say, well, Reverend, I'm a preacher and I did that, and Satan was in you when you did it. Say, well, Reverend, I bet you've done some bad things. Whatever I did against God, Satan was in me when I did them. Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That which he can prey on, P-R-E-Y, that which he thinks he can mislead, that which he thinks he can steal, that which he thinks he can kill, that which he thinks he can destroy, he will focus on. Remember John 10:10. Remember John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's why I say to you, my friends, be careful who you allow to be your mentor. Be careful whose advice you take. Be careful whose advice you are taking, whose advice you are accepting. Jesus says he wants you to have life more abundantly. Satan is not interested in you having life more abundantly. He will take you to the bar and get you drunk. He will take you to the bordello or to the prostitute house and find you a woman to fornicate with. He will take you to the abortion clinic to cut off that child. He will take you to a hospital that will kill you if you're old and feeble. That's what Satan does. He is not interested in your future well-being. He will give you advice that will lead you to hell. He will teach you things that are not true. He will provide you with information that will not lead to the abundant life. Wake up. Wake up, my friend. Wake up. You need to be in that amazing Christian church. That church that has survived more than 20 centuries of Satan's best attacks. That church that Satan has prevailed against, but will never prevail against. He has tried, I should say, to prevail against. Satan has tried to prevail against it, but will never prevail against it. Why not, Reverend? Well, specifically because of Matthew Chapter 16, verse 18. Matthew 16, 18. In which Jesus speaks in verse 18. Matthew 16:18. Jesus says, "And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew 16:18. Jesus has said, he has set the boundaries. Hell cannot prevail against it. And you will say, well, Reverend, I hear that, but it looks to me like now that hell has prevailed against it. I don't know, Reverend. My friend, you can't go by what it looks like. You see, it might look like the church is losing, but the church is not losing. Satan is the loser. He does come to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy, as we're told in John 10:10. But as Jesus says in Matthew 16:18, the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. The gates of hell shall not prevail against him. The gates of hell shall not prevail against that amazing Christian church. And it's time to shout hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now here's somebody saying, I hear you, Reverend. Well, this is the 21st century, Reverend. I don't know. I'm out there, you say. You say, I travel around the world. And Reverend, what I see, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. It looks like the devil got taken the world by storm. Looks like the devil got it, Reverend. It looks like the devil got it, Reverend. What I see and what I hear what you're reading, Reverend, but this is 20 centuries later. I don't know, and I say to you, my brother, I say to you, my sister, what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Some of you out there listening to me, my friends, you're still doubting. You say, okay, Paige, I listen to you, and you give a lot of stuff that you believe, but Paige, I don't believe everything you believe. You seem to be a little gullible, Paige. You don't seem to deal with the facts. And you don't seem, Paige, to be empirical and scientific. And you don't seem to understand what the stats are. Paige, the statistics now on planet Earth lead me, you would say, some of you would say, Paige, the statistics on planet Earth lead me to believe that hell has prevailed. I don't think you are that connected, Paige. I don't know if you travel enough around the world. You don't see what I see. Paige, people around the world don't care about the Christian church. Some of them never heard about it, you'd think. And when you go and see what they're doing, Paige, I just don't know. And I say to you again, my brother, I say to you again, my sister, that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Some college student would say, Reverend, I hear you, but I'm in college. And from my professors to my fellow students, there is a disdain for Christianity. They are into studying the various religions of the world, and they compare them, and they will tell you right quick that Christianity is just another belief system, no different from any other. And they, Reverend, are, they don't believe in God. They are atheists. And Reverend, this is not just at my school. I talk to people on Facebook and Twitter, and I see this around the world. So, Reverend, I don't know if you can say that. My dear college student, let me say something to you. Have you ever heard of Yale University? Yale College, Yale University? Yale was the idea, I would say, of God. Yale says in its history that colonial clergymen back in the 1640s had the idea and desire for a college in New Haven. That's what the history of Yale says. But around 1701, I believe it was, Yale was finally chartered. So the idea had been there, and the clergymen had pushed for that kind of college. But it wasn't until 1701, according to Yale's history, that Yale was chartered. And after having been chartered, it began slowly, as any small planting of a college would, and grew slowly. In a book called A Frank Borman Treasury, statements are made to the following extent. Now keep in mind that Yale was chartered in 1701. In the Frank Borman Treasury book, the statement is made that in 1803, now keep in mind, this is just 102 years after the chartering of Yale. In 1803, they said every student at Yale was an infidel. Now, I find that hard to believe, but they say it is said that in 1803, every student at Yale was an infidel. Now, keep in mind, this is the fledgling plant of an educational institution, just having been chartered in 1701. And now 1803, it is said that every student at Yale not only was an infidel, considered him or herself an infidel, and not only that, they said that that every member of the graduating class had adopted names of English and French infidels, what they call great English and French infidels, and that the members of the graduating class of Yale in 1803, and they said that it said that all the members, that they preferred to be called by the name of an English or French infidel rather by their own name. Now, this is a young education institution having been chartered in 1701. Now it's 1803. And they are saying every student is an infidel. And they are saying that the members of the graduating class of 1803 at Yale had adopted the names of what they called great English and French infidels and preferred to be called by the names of those English and French infidels rather than by their own names. Now that sounds like a losing situation. It sounds like the church has lost. In the 1640s, colonial Christian men have the vision of a church, of a school, of a college. Colonial clergymen in the 1640s have the vision of a college in New Haven that teaches the arts and sciences, much like the colleges of Europe with which they were acquainted and perhaps from which many of them had graduated. And so they have this vision of a college in the new colonies. And so by 1701, Yale is chartered. And yet, within 102 years, it is said by 1803, every student at Yale was an infidel, and that the members of the graduating class had adopted the names of what they called great English and French infidels and preferred to be called by the names of those English and French infidels rather than to be called by their own names. And so when you look at it, looks like Satan has scored a home run. Yale, the vision of colonial clergymen, school chartered, and 102 years later, every student on campus is said to be an infidel. I want to remind you what Jesus said. You see, Jesus said, you see, you're looking at the stats. Those were the stats according to them back then, 1803. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And you're saying, Reverend, just the stats you gave about Yale, that shows that the devil had won there in 102 years. Every student was an infidel, even though the idea had come from colonial clergymen. Well, that's only part of the story. And whenever it looks like the devil has won, keep in mind that it might look that way, but you're only hearing part of the story. Whenever someone tells you hell has won, you always keep in mind that Pastor Page told you that you're only hearing part of the story. Whenever you are told that hell has prevailed against the Christian church, remember that Pastor Page told you that you're only hearing part of the story. Because Jesus said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Well, Reverend, those stats you gave about Yale, it seems that by 1803, the gates of hell had prevailed. My friends, I'm talking to you about that amazing Christian church. When you're dealing with that amazing Christian church, you cannot go by what it looks like. It looked like Satan had prevailed against Jesus when he was hung high and laid low and was in the ground. But the third day he rose from the dead. Yes, Reverend, but going back to that Yale stats. Now, Reverend, now don't get away from that now. 102 years later, and they say that every student on Yale's campus was an infidel. And not only that, Reverend, you said, they said that the members of the graduating class had adopted the names of what were called great English and French infidels and preferred to be called by the names of those infidels than by their own names. Reverend, you got to admit that hell had prevailed. My friend, I call you back to Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, in which Jesus said, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. You say, I hear that page, but you're not dealing with the facts page. You're not dealing with the facts. You're not dealing with the stats. Well, let me give you the facts and the stats about Yale. Let me give you the facts and the stats about Yale. Yes, in the 1640s, the colonial clergyman had the vision and view of a college that would teach the arts and sciences in New Haven. And by 1803, it is reported that every student on campus was an infidel, and that the graduating class had adopted the names of what they called great English and French infidels and preferred to be called by the names of those so-called great French and English infidels than to be called by their own names. But let me give you the rest of the story. By 1822, there was the beginning of a divinity school at Yale. So now you see, 1803, we're talking about a campus full of student infidels. But by 1822, there was a divinity school. A divinity school. And to this day, in this sermon, is being preached in the year 2012. And to this very day, there is still a divinity school at Yale University. There is still a divinity school at Yale University. Well, Reverend, what are they teaching? Well, I'm not going there now. But the point is, in 1803, when it was said that every student at Yale was an infidel, it looked like the gates of hell had prevailed against Yale. And yet in 1822, the divinity school came. And to this day, right now, they may have had some problems, I'm not sure, I don't know all the history. But in the year 2012, as far as I know, and according to their published history, there is still a divinity school at Yale University, the same university where in 1803 it was said that every student on campus was an infidel. I'm telling you, my friend, that amazing Christian church has been through many valleys, but it ends up on the mountaintop. It has been through the valley of the shadow of death, but it has feared no evil because Jesus was with it. And it always will end up on the mountaintop because Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I am talking about that amazing Christian church. That amazing Christian church. That amazing Christian church. This is light to guide our feet. The 24/7 authentic Christian ministry of Trinity Baptist Church. I am Pastor Clarence William Page.